Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS, Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Good morning. Welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and Chris McGregor. Chris, of course, day two down in Guatemala. She's on a mission trip there for 2 weeks in our sister diocese in Huehuetenango. But that does not prevent us from getting geeky. We've got Mark Hart with us. Mark, leading conferences, retreats, and missions for teens and adults around the world. Vice President of Life Teen International, a Catholic youth ministry. Also the author of Blessed Are the Bored in Spirit, A Young Catholic's Search for Meaning. And Ask the Bible Geek, Answers to Questions from Catholic Teens. And his newest one, Ask the Bible Geek 2, More Answers to Questions from Catholic Teens. Mark and his wife Mel have two beautiful daughters and live in Arizona. And Mark, thanks again for being with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, are you kidding? I have to be here to help you out, Bruce, especially if Chris is in Huehuetenango.
Huehuetenango in Guatemala.
Yeah, that's pretty. You just rolled off your tongue. You sounded real natural there.
Well, we've been talking about Huehuetenango here for a couple of years on the morning show, but this is the first year Chris has actually become a missionary. So she's been a pilgrim in Rome, and about 45 days later, a missionary down to Guatemala.
Wow, unbelievable.
Oh,
what a holy woman.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I'm the millstone around her neck at times, I think.
I wouldn't necessarily say that.
Well, God is good. And Mark, why don't you share with us all the things that are going on there? I know you've had a very, very busy summer, a lot of things going on with Life Teen International.
Oh, my goodness. Just incredibly busy. Just getting back from another trip out to Franciscan University for a Steubenville conference. We had just wrapped up our training convention in the summer. We had people come. We had 450 people from all over the country. We had people from India, from the Netherlands, from Canada, from Scotland, from Australia, to learn more about Life Teen, about how to start it, about how to implement it more effectively. People coming in just kind of trying to see what we do and what we offer, and coming in to pray with us. And wonderful. We had 40 priests, and we had religious and just youth ministers and core members, and wonderful celebration. And now I'm getting geared up. My wife's going to come with me. We're going to head out to University of Notre Dame for a week for our Life Teen Leadership Conference. We have about several hundred teenagers coming from all over the country for that. And then I'm packing up the wife and the kiddies, and we're heading down to North Georgia to our one of our Life Teen camps out there. We're going to lead a week of camp with a bunch of high schoolers a little later on in July. So a lot going on.
Wow. And, of course, we do want to encourage everyone, of course, to check out all of the varying websites via lifeteen.com.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But there's a lot going on. It's not just, Life Teen is not just for teens. There's stuff there for parents, for youth ministers, volunteers, catechists, just priests, everybody. There's stuff there on Life Teen. And then we're actually even starting a new website for adults, YM. It stands for Youth Ministry, ym.lifeteen.com. So there's lots of stuff out there. There's all kinds. We have new T-shirts in our store. Stop on by. There's some really fun new T-shirts designed to celebrate Jesus.
Well, Mark, as we were talking, and you were talking about all the varying places you're going to go, I think one of the key little phrases I heard in there is you're going to pack up not only Mel, but also the kids and head to Georgia, leading, all of the retreats and talks and everything that you do. And I think this brings up a very, very important point, that even as busy as we are in everything, and especially with the life you have going on, there certainly has to be time for sharing the faith with your children.
Oh, there's absolutely nothing more important. Nothing in my life, world, or day. And I think it's easy to fall into that trap where things do become quote unquote more important or seem more important. But ultimately, at the end of the day, none of the other stuff's going to matter. That we as spouses, as parents, even as singles, we're going to be judged on how our life led those closest to us closer to God.
Yep. And I mean, we've talked to many, many different people who talk about the importance, the paramount importance, of course, of modeling the faith for your children. Certainly sharing the faith is very, very important, and we can never forget our mission, both for our spouses and, of course, for, not only our children, but all of our brothers and sisters here in the body of Christ, that our goal ultimately is to attain heaven. Now, as you talk about sharing the faith with your children, you've mentioned five things that you should try, so let's start with number one.
Absolutely, absolutely. And these are a few things that I've that I'm learning myself as a parent, number one. But number two, also that as I have traveled around the world a lot in the last 10 years, 15 years doing ministry, having countless conversations with both married and unmarried, with divorced and annulled people, maybe parents who are trying to do it as single parents, cradle Catholics who are married, maybe who are coming back, really getting more involved in their faith, or even parents who all of a sudden find themselves with kids and they're saying, wow, you know, what do I hand on? What do I really believe? What do I really know? I mean, just amazing conversations. And as I've had conversations with people far holier and far wiser than myself and with religious and people like that, there are a few things that I'm finding that I've tried to implement in my own life and as I'm encouraging other parents to do, I get emails and letters and phone calls from people all over the country that I've talked with different places who have tried some of these, and they really are working well in their families. So when I throw out these ideas, I don't want people to think, oh, this is what I say you're supposed to do. Because, I mean, I'm just a young dad trying to figure this out myself.
Sure. You know?
I mean, I'm far more of a sinner than most people, but a few things. Number one, and this is something I've actually talked about a few different times, is to really try to create a more prayerful environment in the home. And this is a really important thing. In terms of sharing your faith with your children, it isn't always in what we say. But there's a lot of things that we say by things that we do. You know, what we heard, you know, a couple weeks ago at Mass, you know, with the woman, you know, breaking the jar, you know, and you know, washing Jesus' feet and that sort of thing. And what we have to continue to remember is that our actions follow our beliefs. And if we truly believe, and if we proclaim that we believe, you know, that God is Lord, and that He is our Lord, and He is Lord of our life, that, you know what, that our environment in our life should probably reflect that. It, you know, it should be reflected in the environment in our homes, in terms of not just having a cross on the wall, which is beautiful, and I think every home should have at least one crucifix. But I mean, having a more prayerful environment in the home, where when someone walks in, they don't just say, "Oh, this is someone who is a Christian or is a Catholic," but this is someone who's very involved in their faith. You know, that the home should reflect that. That doesn't mean that every inch of every wall needs to be a reflection of that, but that every environment that we create for our children, for our families, again, like you were just saying, is this an environment that necessarily points back to God? It points people back to God.
Mm-hmm.
That reflects the light of God. You know, we have to think of our lives and our families as they should be a mirror. Our lives should be a mirror to God's light to the world. You know, so if we're creating a more prayerful environment in our home, so not just a holy environment, not just icons and pictures everywhere, you know, and prayer cards everywhere, but a prayerful environment. An environment where the children and people who come into the home know that the prayer is important, know that prayer does not just take place before the family meal, for instance, or right before bed, but that at any given moment of the day, you might find somebody praying. Any given moment of the day, you might walk into, maybe in the living room. There's a little prayerful environment in the living room. Maybe you're going to walk in and you're going to find someone praying a rosary, you know, opening scripture, just sitting in silence, you know, creating spaces in our home. And especially for little ones, this is really important, that little ones start to understand that there are maybe, like, for instance, we have a prayer room in our house that probably should be a dining room, but we don't, you know, we don't cook very often, very well. So we turned our dining room into a prayer room. Now, what's important, what's interesting about this is that in this prayer room, in this prayer environment, what our children have come to learn is that when we're in the family room, we can be loud and we can be raucous, we can be playing and everything else. But when they see my wife and I in the prayer room, they know to drop their voice a little bit. They understand that when we're in there, that we may be in complete prayer, you know, actual like petitionary prayer, or we might actually just be having a conversation. But they know when they walk into that room, it's a different room. It's been set apart, it's been set aside, and they know when they walk in there, they have a completely different demeanor. And this goes a long way, especially with your children, when you're trying to create that idea of sacred space.
Right.
And it eliminates a lot of, not all of, but eliminates a lot of the attitude issues and some of those sorts of things that you run into at church. You see, if we think about it, if we have 168 hours in the course of a week, and if our little ones, all the way through elementary school, if they're only accustomed to going into that kind of church voice, you know, for that 1 hour that you're at church every week,
mm-hmm.
that's, if you think about it, like that isn't the best conditioning, that isn't the best example necessarily for our kids. I mean, we want them to be able to have fun, but it teaches children a lot more to be able to understand sacred space if they understand sacred silence, sacred space, prayerful space, that kind of thing, in other places beyond just the church, beyond just that 1 hour every Sunday. It helps them to prepare themselves, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, what really broke through for our kids, too, was when we explained what the domestic church is really all about. You know, that our faith and everything, while we go to church and why we go to Mass and everything, but when we're at home in the space that we create at home, that becomes our domestic church. So like you, we do have areas that are kind of set aside for doing certain tasks and measures. When you walk in the doorway of our house, there's a font there, not actually a rolling kind of font, but, you know, holy water in a vessel. We have a crucifix up there, picture of the Blessed Virgin, all of the things that some of their art, you know, that they did that, mm-hmm. that's faith-centered around our Lord. And it really does set the tone and measure for, you know, how things go at home. And we found that from a very, very early age, those children really model that. It really sinks in.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And not only does this start to really draw our family into and our children into deeper prayer, but it also calls us. It calls us out of our worldliness, of our daily. When you're having one of those really stressful days, you're one of those days you just want to look to heaven and just scream, and you walk in more of a prayerful space, it does hopefully and necessarily cause you to check your attitude. Mm-hmm. Like it causes me to all the time. You know, when I walk in and I see that cross, or I walk in and walk past a prayer room, it caused me just to stop and to put things in proper perspective, you know, because the world is going to jump at you. So that's one of the first things I always say, is to try and look around the house and see, how can I make my home more of a domestic church? Number two, and this seems so obvious and it seems so easy, but it's something that most parents I've found when I ask them don't do. Ask your children what they need prayers for. And ask them what they need prayers for on a very regular basis. And, yes. And I'm not going to say that has to happen every single day. Maybe it does. But this is something that really is astounding, is that I have yet to meet anybody who, when you say to them, what do you need prayers for? Most times people are so caught, they're so taken back, they're not asked that very often. They say, wow. Because it not only says to them, hey, I pray, and I take this seriously, it also says to them, and I'm also saying I'm going to pray for you. It presupposes that I'm not just inquiring, but that I'm going to do something about it. I'm interceding, not just inquiring. You know, so to actually be able to say to your young, what do you need prayers for? And I mean, and not just to your children, to your spouse. I mean, to your extended family, to brothers and sisters and parents and grandparents, to literally be asking that question frequently, and then to really do not just to do the Catholic, okay, I'll pray for you, you know, but the really truly Catholic Christian follow up, and to really, you know, authentically pray for that person, you know, to keep a prayer journal somewhere, maybe you keep a list on the fridge. If you have kids, you know, at any time, you know, someone can pray. It could be something as quote unquote inane as I have a chemistry test. You know, pray for me, mom and dad, or it could be something as, you know, like I have a game this weekend. But they also start to see there's a petitionary board. Maybe, you know, maybe grandma's sick. You know, maybe you know, Uncle Joe is struggling with something. You know, where when they just have the name there. You know, that every time you go into the fridge to grab milk, you're seeing this list, you're seeing this board. You know, or maybe you keep it in a prayer journal at the nightstand. Maybe you keep it, if you have a prayer room, you kind of put like a prayer book there. You know, that people can always add intentions to. And what'll be astounding is that if your kids are a little bit older and that kind of thing, if they know that people genuinely are praying for those, like they actually walk by and they see people with that book open, they see people praying in that space, they know people are praying. What I've actually found, I have parents who have told me that their teenagers' friends have asked, can I write prayers in that book? They'll come over and can I write some prayers in that book? Because the teenagers, like their kids' friends, don't feel like they know how to pray, or maybe their parents or their families don't pray, but they do know that this family prays. You know, and so something as simple as that, there's a real power in intercessory prayer. There's real power in petitionary prayer, not to change God's mind, but to change our heart and to grant us peace. And God is willing to do that. It says in Jeremiah, when you go to me, when you pray to me, I will listen to you. It says in James, when you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. So there is a power in prayer, but we have to get more disciplined about it. And I think that one of the best ways to affirm somebody is to say to them, what do you need prayers for? Because it shows that their soul, that their salvation, that their faith walk, that their life is very important to you, beyond just, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
So that's number two. Number three, and I just mentioned it, is affirmation. Affirmation is an incredibly powerful and incredibly productive form of prayer. And it's something we often don't look at as prayer. If I ask somebody to close their eyes and think in the course of the last day or the last week how many times they've been affirmed, most people could not come up with four or five examples. Mm-hmm. If I ask somebody to close their eyes and say, how many times in the last week have you felt cut down? Have you felt put down? Have you felt forgotten? Have you felt, you know, destroyed verbally? You know, a lot of times people can find far more examples of being torn down than built up.
Yeah.
And affirmation, because it doesn't happen very often, but affirmation just in the sense of that God wants to, it says in Scripture that, you know, he wants us to be edified. he wants it to be edifying in our speech, and to edify means to build up the exterior. Okay, but also you build up the exterior by building up the interior. You know, we don't affirm enough. And one of the things that we started doing, at least on my family, is when we have our weekly family night, when we get together. I mean, we spend that as a family every night, but once a week we really set it apart. There's no television. There's no anything else. It's just reading stories, playing games, prayer, books, that kind of thing. Right. And we always spend time in affirmation, where we pass around the family Bible and we affirm one another. And it's a great example for the children to see the spouses affirming one another. And if some people listen to this might be saying, wow, that makes me a little uncomfortable. I can't imagine doing this. You know what? It can be a little uncomfortable. And if it is, that's a good sign that you need to do it. Because if it's uncomfortable to verbally affirm family members to their face out loud in front of one another, it shows we've gotten too busy.
Yeah.
This is not about personal comfort anymore. You know, so really, this is something that we've done, and it's been really beautiful. I mean, even watching Little Hope, who's only five, you know, be able to look at her mom in the eyes and just to thank her, you know, thank you for helping me clean up my toys, thank you for giving me hugs and kisses, things like that, you know, but to affirm, you know, her for what a wonderful mom she is and that sort of thing. Everybody needs affirmation, and sometimes we say, oh, well, no, I don't need affirmation. That's a lie. Humans, people need community. People need affirmation. If you take someone and you put them out in the middle of the desert with no food or water, they're going to start walking. But you know what they're walking for? They're not just walking for food or water. They're walking for other people.
Yeah.
We need community.
Yeah.
We need to be affirmed. We need to be lifted up. And everyone, no matter what they say, everyone on some level, even if it makes them uncomfortable, does like affirmation. And not in a prideful way, but to be able to look someone in the eyes and say, I see God in you. Or God is good in you, or this is where I think that God did really well in you. And for some parents, and maybe they even have a strained relationship with their children, if they're young adults, even if they're middle school, high school, college age, and you don't know where to start. Look them in the eyes and affirm them. Write them a note and affirm them. Tell them some of the ways that you have seen the beauty of God in them. Some of the ways that you see their talents that God has given them, and draw it back to God each time. That no one's a great athlete or a great student or a great anything if it wasn't for God's blessings. You know, so just to affirm, that's the third thing, is that to really make our language edifying, that we affirm, that we build up the body. And that is really a beautiful form of prayer. And if we're really, really proactive about it, it becomes second nature. And it's interesting, everybody has negative people in their life. Not everybody has affirming people in their life. And we have to make that decision. Our attitude is a decision, and what we choose to do with our speech is a decision. And if anybody needs any more explanation or any more coercion to do that, go read the book of James. Okay, go read Ephesians. Go see the power of language, the power of the tongue. So that was my third one. My last two are pretty simple. Most people, a lot of Catholics, are pretty good about praying the rosary. And most Catholics will say, I'm not as good as I should be, but I do pray it here and there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are very disciplined. They'll pray it every day. Some people pray it many times a day. Some people struggle to pray it once a week or once a year, and that's okay. You know, the rosary is a tool. You know, it's supposed to be a tool of grace. It's supposed to help us grow closer to Jesus, you know, through Our Lady. One thing I usually like to throw out, especially for people who find themselves sort of spiritually ADHD,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it's hard to focus, or maybe people who jump into the rosary, you know, and they'll get going. But I don't know if you ever struggle with this. I struggle with it when I get into the rosary. I struggle with really staying very very focused on my prayer, on the intention, on the mystery I'm on, maybe,
mm-hmm.
or staying focused on the different petitions. I sometimes start to find myself drift off into just sort of the recitation of the prayers. And I know no one else struggles with this. This is just me. One thing I throw out, though, get a list of paper, number it 1 to 50. Do this with your family if you want. Come up with 50 people or problems or situations or things that you want to intercede for. 50 people. Anything from we want to pray for the soldiers and their families,
mm-hmm.
to we want to pray for, you know, Aunt Mary who is having pain, to we want to pray for this person who we heard about in the news or read about in the paper, you know, or whatever it is. You know, 50 intentions. And as you pray through them, and maybe you should pray a rosary as a family, it's even more of a living rosary, you know. And it's easier, especially for little ones or for people who are sort of in more of a frenetic pace of life, to really slow down. It really helps me a lot. And I have a full rosary petition sheet, whereas I'm sitting and I'm praying. It helps me a lot on maybe the third decade of the joyful mysteries and the third beat of the third decade to be thinking, I'm praying for my Uncle BJ right now, you know, not just praying, you know, this prayer.
Right.
And it's not that you have to do it that way. This is just an example. It's an example of taking classic prayers, traditional prayers that maybe maybe families or children or other people might be a little bit bored by or might have a hard time focusing on, and making them even more personal, even more directed, even more intercessory. You know, and it gives people a different kind of visual as they're praying through every prayer, as they're praying through each bead, and it helps the rosary come even more to life. You know, and sometimes that's what we need for a while, and we can develop more of a habit until we get more comfortable with certain forms of prayer.
Yeah.
And the last one, and I would be completely remiss if I didn't mention this, but the last one would be scripture study. And this is always the one that seems most daunting and most scary to people. I don't know how to read the scriptures. I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. Especially as a family, you know, you might have a dad or mom out there saying, I would love to, but I wouldn't even know where to start. I have this little devotional Bible that I love. I don't know what to do. It's okay if you don't know what to do. But I do want to just encourage people and say that this is a beautiful form of prayer. Not only that, you learn more about Scripture, you grow in your own faith, you learn more, you know, discussing Scripture, but this is also one of those ways that we really find out a lot about the people around us. We find out a lot about our spouse, our children, other people that we involve, because you get to hear the way that the Scripture comes to life in their life.
You bet.
You get to hear what they're thinking, what they're struggling with, how it changes their hearts and minds, and it gives you an insight into them that doesn't come just through basic conversation. You know, it comes with listening to the way that they are interpolating the Word of God themselves. So what I would throw out is, there are 1,000 things out there. We've mentioned it before. You guys have mentioned it before. On our Life Team website, you can go to our audio section, and I have a weekly podcast that I do. It's 6-7 minutes long. It's called Sunday, 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 and it just helps people. It lists the Sunday readings and helps people get ready for the Sunday readings. You pray the Sunday readings as a family. It's a wonderful place to start.
Okay.
There are other Bible studies even that I've done that are on the Life Team website under my Bible Geek section that people can download and print out and read through as a family. There are thematic studies for free. There's things like T3, which we've mentioned, which is a DVD series, you know, and actually the Leader Manual has corresponding follow-up Bible studies. You could do 6 months of Bible study once a week. I mean, you could do literally like 6 months of Bible study as a family with that resource. There are so many things. Go to your local Catholic bookstore. There are so many Catholic Bible studies that are available that you can do as a couple, you can do as a family. There are so many online. You can go places like CatholicExchange.com, and they actually have family faith nights and Bible studies, things like that. They're completely free. You can sign up for, and you can get one every week, and you can search around. I'm sure that there'll be plenty of other, you know, places that are linked through the KVSS website. And, I mean, there are so many options, and there are so many things out there. It's not good enough to say this is too daunting, it's too far beyond me, I'm not a theologian, I don't know how to do it. That Scripture is one of the beautiful ways that no matter where you are, Christ is with you, literally with you. You know, that if you can't be in adoration, if you can't be at the church, and we can't be, I mean, we have to be out in the world, we have to be taking Christ into the world, you know. But it's a great way to ensure that when you're far away from the parish, that the church is not far away from you.
You bet. Yeah, and I can't think of a better way to be prepared than to make sure that you do carve out that important time for prayer. And, of course, center that in your family, sharing the faith with your children, 5 things you should try. As always, Mark, wow, what awesome advice. Thanks for sharing, and we deeply appreciate it.
God bless you, Bruce.